Which brings us round to the weather from Gabriella in Gibraltar for Lincoln.
Highs of 11 degrees centigrade, a low of 4 degrees centigrade, dry and mostly cloudy throughout the day. That's weather.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
And, of course, the tasks don't stop there, Gabriella, because we have to formally invite you to join the rest of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition team on this fabulous 16th of March 2017 in wishing good luck to Ben Lewis. Should we say that now?
Good luck,
Ben Lewis.
Good luck.
There we are. So, we move on. Should we ask how Frodo's keeping Hannah? What do you think?
Yes, well, the question is he awake? Has he decided to...
Isn't it always the question?
Well, have we piqued his interest enough today already with the show, or do we need to up our game? Mm.
Has he been piqued?
He's so tired, he hasn't even made it to the kitchen to sit with me. So, I think he's lying down in the corridor, because it's a bit dark, I've got the light on in this room.
Or astral travelling, as we've said. Who knows? Never mind. It's Frodo, if you're there... Oh, I see you floating through the ether. It's amazing.
I still support the hypothesis that he's in the astral plane saving the galaxy. We just think he's sleeping all the time.
He is, in many ways, Gibraltar's answer to Rocket Raccoon.
I'm not sure who that is.
You're not... Natasha Armstrong will be just devastated while the key Probably. Guardians of the galaxy.
Yes, Rocket, I do know who
Rocket Raccoon.
Sorry, my brain's not fully awake yet. Give it a time to kick in. Yes, I do know who Rocket is.
It's, you know, sometimes, Gabriella, you know, the shocks that sort of come through and mitigate in all sorts of ways. It's just quite astounding. 48-hour film challenges, so we're looking to go ahead and progress with this whole side of things. It'll happen. We'll find out about that from Louis in the next part of the production. Gabriella, what else are you kind of getting up to in Gibraltar? Let's deal with time. You know, why not, indeed? You know, it's a wonderful slipper. It's exactly time and the whole concept of that, because clearly we're in that part of the world now where you're springing forward into summer, falling backwards into winter. It's not this weekend. It's the weekend afterwards where, in the UK at least, clocks go forward. Do you get confused by such things in Gibraltar, or is it just a case of, no, it's always supper time in Gibraltar?
I don't get confused. We have the same as the UK, where the clocks go forward next week.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't confuse
you
at all?
Well, we have supper later than you guys. I think, don't in the UK, you eat around 7.
I don't know. Some people don't even have supper, really. It's just one of those sort of things, really. I mean, and then, of course, you're into the notion of, you know, the northern divide between folk in the north, where for whom dinner is basically lunchtime. It's very confusing.
Let's not get into that debate right now.
That did confuse me when I first went there, because tea for us is a cup of tea with a biscuit, but tea in the UK is like lunch. Dinner, isn't it? It's dinner.
You see, yeah, because that's the confusing thing, because I get confused, because I've always had breakfast as breakfast, lunch is the middle of the day, and dinner could be the dinner, tea or supper. With those are all interchangeable to me. So I came to uni and some people were calling lunch dinner, and I was like, but that's not dinner. And I got really confused, so I avoid the word games with what do you call it when you eat food. So I'm just like,
just
when are you getting
food?
Yeah,
food time.
Food time.
Do you know that kind of sense? Because I often thought that clearly children going to school, you know, is it dinner time? Is it lunch time? Again, critical.
Food time.
In Harwich, food, you know, I mean, obviously we called it food time. You kind of know. Just a random sort of thought there that crossed one's mind, which, who knows, you might want to actually sort of contribute to in a further way. Okay, apart from that, and clearly the notion that Lincoln City's glorious cup run came to an end, an ignoble end, never mind. It was only 5 goals, let's face it.
They did so well to get there. Here we go.
Simon. Like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big football fan, but even I was interested in their progress and was supporting them along.
Precisely.
I was quite happy for them.
Well, I think we all were.
They've still got the FA Trophy, isn't it?
FA Vars. Yes, I think. Always the FA Trophy. I've just said FA Vars, FA Trophy. They're playing York City. It's 2-1 to York City from the first leg, and the second leg, I believe, is on Saturday. which yes. is all very critical to the whole sort of sequence. So what, pray tell, does the day have in store for your good self? Because clearly, Gabriella, having launched with the weather forecast and provided us with updates on Frodo and discussed and debated the whole notion of the notion of time and coming to the conclusion that ultimately food time is the best way of actually wiping the slate clean from that point of view, where else will the world be taking your good self today as it spins on its axis around the sun?
Today is a Supreme Court drugs trial day, day three. It's actually not that interesting, to be honest. Just drugs. Drugs on you.
Yeah. It came out to us like Supreme Court drugs trial. You're thinking,
and she picked it up, and then suddenly,
no, just found some drugs on people. It's not as interesting or as stabbings or.
Not that we're advocating, any obviously, other. Just on interest levels and interest factors, etc. Yeah, at the end of the day, it's all very well dealing with illegal pharmaceuticals, but you can't beat a good stab. It's not going to happen. It's just, please, just ease back on the whole thing. Let's focus on positive news. Lord knows we need it in the world today. That's the important thing. Okay, Frodo, still no sign, I take it?
No, he's still, I think he's just asleep down the other end of the house where it's darker.
With who?
Where it's darker.
Oh, I thought it was Starker there.
He's avoiding the light.
Is this another animal? Fair enough, right, okay. Is
he living the vampire life?
Yeah, I was
right
going to say, yeah, clearly. I mean, you want to be careful with respect to that. Check, how does he respond to garlic? Or possibly sort of...
Oh, he can't eat it, I don't think.
Yeah. A whole new side to him while he sleeps in the day. Maybe he's not saving the galaxy.
Exactly. Frodo the vampire canine.
Yeah. We definitely know what he's got to dress up as in this Halloween.
Oh my God, yes. He's already got a few costumes, so I'll just have to get him that one.
I mean, he's got his own fangs, presumably, so,
Just need a little cape, a cute little cape to tie around his neck.
That's probably perfect.
And probably saying the canine equivalent of, listen, the children of the night, what sweet music they make. Well, I don't know why Frodo would actually speak with an Eastern European accent, but you never know. Have you seen Beauty and the Beast, the Disney remake, Gabriella?
No, but I am watching it on Sunday and I'm really excited for it. I made a whole day out of watching Beauty and the Beast.
Why not?
I'm going to have lunch and everything before I get to go to the cinema.
It's just tremendous. People don't do the same for Kong Skull Island, which, as we found out yesterday off air, Holly McGrattan didn't rate. Despite the fact that our Starburst magazine correspondent, one of the many, of course, Robin Pierce, effectively thought it was, I enjoyed it. You haven't seen it as yet, Hannah?
No, but people like different films,
this is true. This
some
is
films
true.
That everyone thinks is great.
Exactly. And Gabriella, Skull Island or Kong Skull Island hasn't really crossed your manifesto as
yet? I haven't heard of it.
Oh, right. Well, it'll probably...
Maybe I've just been so hooked up on Beauty and the Beast, I've just ignored other films.
Beauty and the Beast is the big news at the moment. Yeah.
I think I'll probably manage to live until it gets a release on the domestic market, really, somehow. I can't see myself busting a...
You're not front of the queue, Alex, to get your ticket.
Well, strange as it may seem, not really. I mean, my favourite Disney movie is probably The Jungle Book or The Aristocats. And somehow Beauty and the Beast just doesn't cut it, really, from my point of view. Maybe I felt too manipulated by the teapot. It has been known to happen, but still. Let's go there. Anna, would you like to put those last two interrogatives to our Gibraltarian correspondent before we find out from Richard Fitzwilliams what he made of the remake of B&B?
Is that Bread and Breakfast or Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, see what we did there, exactly. Let's carry on, yes.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have, thank you.
Will you be joining us again next week?
Yep, I'll be here.
Tell us all as time, true as it can be. Just a little change, small to say the least, both a little scared, neither one prepared. Beauty and the Beast. Yeah.
It's All Right, Little Teapot, All Will Be Well With The World. Richard Fitzwilliams is here. Yay! Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, and yes, a charming tune and a delightful score, one of the strengths of Beauty and the Beast.
You see, the thing is, I just don't think it's got as many hummable tunes as La La Land, but never mind.
Well, you're probably quite right there. La La Land, you know, City of Stars, but all those others.
So many, exactly. The audition, it's another
Young
day.
The Highway, precisely. One of the problems, I mean, La La Land, I do feel, though, has rather unkindly been under the most vicious attack from so many people who've seen it and disappointed in it and have been pretty vitriolic about it. I thoroughly enjoyed it, even though it had flaws.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not sure whether President Trump has had a chance to tweet about La La Land as yet, but...
That's one of the few things he hasn't.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a way forward. So, Hannah, you've already said that you are making a sort of event for Beauty and the Beast. We've heard from Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar. She's having a whole Sunday where the whole day is being built around the whole thing. I mean, did you see the original animated version, Hannah? Is this?
Yes, I'm a big Disney fan, so I've seen the original animated version, and I've been waiting for this film since they announced that they were going to create it. So before they had even cast anyone, I was on this website and just listing upcoming films, and this was a few years ago, and I have been waiting since then.
And the fact that Hermione Granger is in there as well,
it's like an added bonus, I love Emma Watson.
Well, so Richard, no pressure, but as you can tell, a lot of anticipations and hopes resting on this particular invitation to be our guest.
Well, I have to say I'm delighted Hannah's so enthusiastic about it, because I used to be that way and still am about movies where, you know, you the anticipation, you know they're in production, you want to see it. You also, in my opinion, it's best to avoid any trailers or anything that gives you an insight before you actually see the movie, and then if it has magic, you'll discover it there. I mean, I do think Disney's decision to make the animated classics into the live-action movies, I think it's marvellous, because I didn't see the original because I am not particularly fond, if I can avoid them, of cartoons. It's always been that way. And to be introduced to Cinderella, the Jungle Book, the Cinderella was enchanting, the Jungle Book vivid and exciting. And this is directed by Bill Condon, and it's a cornucopia of colourful fun. Transport yourself into 18th century France, and the Beast, played by Dan Stevens, was once a young prince, and he's transformed by an enchantress into a monster when he arrogantly rejects her plea for sanctuary, as well as a single rose she proffers. And the curse means that it will only be lifted if he loves another, is loved in return, before the last petal of an enchanted rose falls. So he's imprisoned in his castle, isolated in a frozen wolf-inhabited wasteland. His servants are turned into household objects, can only see through the world through a magical mirror. Not a happy situation.
Did you enjoy it, Richard?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, Emma Watson, Belle, languishing with her devoted father, Maurice, played by Kevin Kline, in a small village nearby. An adventurous spirit longs to escape, and also the advances of the unscrupulous Gaston, played by Luke Evans. So when her father's captured by the Beast, she offers herself as a substitute and then discovers the real person, so to speak, hidden, trapped inside the animal that he has become. I mean, it is a remarkably colourful and lively experience, and Emma Watson's so good. I mean, Hannah, you really, really will enjoy her performance.
Well, I'm still recovering from the fact that Holly McGrattan said she didn't like Skull Island and Kong, although as Hannah, you rightly sort of said, everybody's entitled to an opinion with respect to that whole process, and that's fine. Heaven only knows what Holly's view on Beauty and the Beast is going to be. Holly?
I'm intrigued. I'm not, like, excited for it.
Yeah, I've been waiting for 2 years since the first announcement was made. Okay, she's taking a sort of non-committal version. Right. Could be tipped by your recommendation, but I think we know effectively, Anna, that you will be making your way to check it out.
Yes.
I would say one thing, and that is that if you are irritated by whimsy, I mentioned that the prince's staff are transformed by the curse into these objects where you have a talking clock or a singing wardrobe or whatever. There is rather a lot of that, and if it makes you impatient, you may feel just a bit whimsical, a bit too long, which, you know, I mean, it is, but you'll find that the likes of Ian McKellen, Emma Thompson, Ewan McGregor, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, they've all got roles, and I mean, it's a delight because it's got such a wonderful 4 new songs. The musical numbers are super, and it's in gorgeous colours. So I say you'd be less than human not to find it a magical treat.
You join us, Richard, of course, as at the University of Lincoln, we're just about in the approaching the heartland, the heart spot of a 3-day filmic celebration, are we not, Holly?
We are.
Would you like to just share with Richard what delights are being provided for people as a kind of precursor to our symposium on Sunday, the Stone Tapes?
Well, Indie Links is happening, which is a film festival run by one of our lecturers, Mike and Murray, and he's put together a screening of lots of independent films from all around Europe, I believe, as well as lots of filmmakers in Lincoln. So there's a lot of screening happening tonight and on campus. Mm.
Including, of course, our very own Darren Scales, who's actually having a screening of his latest sequel to The Drift,
yeah,
a science fiction scenario, which we'll be talking about again on Sunday, a sort of postscript to
that.
Well, it's all great stuff, and if only you were here, Richard, the whole festival will be complete. We'll have to coordinate it so that you're with us next year somehow. But anyway, meanwhile, after their old flat becomes damaged, Imad and Rana, a young couple living in Tehran, are forced to move into a new apartment. It sounds like the beginnings of an insurance commercial, but maybe not.
Maybe not indeed, because this is the film that had a surprise win, as you know, at the Oscars, beating the widely tipped German comedy, black comedy, I have to say, but one I loved enormously. We discussed it quite a long time ago, Tony Erdmann. Asghar Farhadi's direction is the key to the success of this movie, because A Separation, which also won an Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film, was brilliant. About Ellie and The Past were both, I thought, superb. And here, it's it deals, as you say, with a couple. Shahab Hosseini plays Imad, Tara Aradusti as Rana. They're both actors playing the central roles in a theatrical production of Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman, hence the link to the title, because this, the classic American drama about a complex failure who searches for the elusive American dream, here there are parallels intentionally to the characters they're portraying on stage, but we see what happens when reality brutally impinges on their lives, because they leave their home, they find new accommodation. This was previously occupied by a prostitute, and subsequently Rana is subjected to a brutal attack by an intruder, although it's the way it affects her, and also the way Imad methodically seeks the identity of this attacker, that makes for a very gripping story. Tension slowly builds. It's the way the action in this film is, so it's slow, but it's deliberate. And the intention of Farhadi is that the collapsing home and their predicament symbolizes rootlessness, domestic dysfunctionality, which he sees in today's Iran. And it's set in Iran as a separation was. An excellent cast, superb performances from both principals, story told with skill and power. I can see why it won, but obviously that was somewhat influenced by Farhadi's decision not to attend the Oscars in protest against Donald Trump's travel ban, which was ruled unconstitutional. But it is a first-class film.
Well, what is Richard's description and the trailer, which we're currently still overviewing at present, make of the movie for yourself, Holly?
Yeah, you said the direction was key, and I think the trailer shows that. I think the actors also are going to have to really.
Well, it's fair to say Richard doesn't really do trailers. It's pointless. He prefers.
Well, I don't, because although they can introduce you to a movie, you just look at a trailer. Right? Any movie with magical sequences or epic spectacle, and you'll see a clip from each. So even if it's so brief, you'll have it spoiled.
piece, like a spoiler-free critic, that's the important thing. Hannah, would you be putting The Salesman on your list of things to see?
Yes, it looks interesting and obviously very different to the Beauty and the Beast, but obviously. But no, it looks really good, and obviously from Rich's description, it sounds good.
It's interesting too. I mean, I was introduced to Arthur Miller late, but to see Death of a Salesman with Anthony Sherk recently, I mean, it was really, really impressive, and it's an interesting parallel. It's a thoughtful film. His films always are. A Separation was his best because of the way it told its story, which was absolutely extraordinary. But this it's very good. It's a powerful movie.
So, Hannah, how are Richard's scores on The Doors coming, as we are now almost a quarter of the way through 2017 since you started launching this chart of Richard Fitzwilliam's pros, his pluses, and his avoid at all costs?
Well, I think off the top of my head, because I transfer my notes from my phone and onto my laptop.
It's a very significant
thing. I've only got
three
of them on here.
I mean, it's the statistics of Richard Fitzwilliam here. I trust you appreciate this. This is like a breakdown. It's like analytics.
But from the top of my head, I think there's only been one movie since I've started the list that Richard Fitzwilliams was saying, no, is definitely bad,
right.
Which you would probably remember being 50 Shades Darker. That's the one.
Well, Richard would probably choose to forget that, really, I suspect.
But I have already forgotten.
Exactly. So there
That's
you go.
Fair enough. And the rest of them have all been positive, apart from the one where I wasn't here, but I listened to it back, Visora's House, where it seemed to be a mixed response some of it was good, but Richard had his issues with it.
You had issues,
overall,
Richard.
It's been a very positive lot of films.
Nice.
Well, I do try and choose movies which, you know, are ones which you would like to see or which would be interesting. I mean, a lot of the ones recently have been linked to the awards because I do think it is important to, to review them and to discuss what was nominated, and this basically brings us to the end of those. But next week we may well get one in the debit column, I have to say.
No. Well, as long as it's not Kong Skull Island, we'll be happy. Or indeed Logan. Or possibly Lego Batman. Neither of which
requires... It could be The Lost City of Z.
Oh, my word.
We'll just have to wait and see.
See
just keep people in suspense for a week.
It's almost as though you want to step into an H. Rider Haggard-esque scenario and find Solomon.
Well, the subject of H. Rider Haggard, I would infinitely prefer the open but nonetheless entertaining vulgarity of Ursula Andress in She to some of what I have been
good
watching.
Let us
wait until next week for that.
Right.
I mean, it's quite interesting, though, looking at Beauty and the Beast. I mean, to see, as from my point of view, a movie, as I say, I'm not fond of Disney cartoons, and I haven't seen the originals of the three I mentioned, but Cinderella, I mean, Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella, it's quite interesting, but I went to the press conference when it was launched, and I said that I thought that the ballroom scene was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and I asked for what he'd been inspired by, and he listed so many wonderful spectacles from the Age of Innocence to My Fair Lady. Apparently, also, he got the idea when he was receiving his knighthood, where the spectacle in Buckingham Palace, because that really, really is a memorable scene in Cinderella. But I love the whole thing, especially Kate Blanchett as the wicked stepmother. I mean, she had super outfits as well as a venomous nature. And The Jungle Book was a triumph and made a fortune. I mean, this is the key. Disney is doing nearly 20 of these have been announced, and I mean, it really, really is successful and a wonderful idea.
Well, I suppose there's always The Lion King to look forward to, which is another one of the live-action movies they've been putting forward. If they can do it on stage, I'm sure they can do it on screen.
And its road trip to Paris, too, the official visit of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge.
Well, I was going to mention the recent tabloid heckling of, let's face it, work-shy Wills, who, when the rest of the royal family...
I mean, I just got to mention it. Of course it was an irresistible sobriquet. When you have this actual work-shy Wills was invented by members of the press who couldn't resist it, because it so happened in 2015 that he did fewer royal engagements than the Duke of Edinburgh, I think, at that year would have been 94. Now, but the is absolutely true. They couldn't resist using.
Couldn't resist, but exactly.
The reason that it's so silly is that he's done so much for charity. If you look at his work against the illegal wildlife trade and also the sale of ivory, if you just consider the fact that he was a pilot with East Anglian Ambulance. And
that's because he's given it up now, Richard.
Hours per week, but also you've got a certain number of rest hours too, and that, and you've got charities, his foundation, the way he and Kate are helping.
We're not going to get Richard to go on an anti-scenario here, I think.
No, you won't. I mean, I do think it's probably now he regrets not attending the Commonwealth Day Services at Westminster Abbey, but the whole point of having an extended royal family is that were very impressive. I mean, it's the fact that the son apparently has got these videos. I was looking at them this morning. I couldn't see anything wrong with them at all, other than he was dancing. I mean, what else would he do now?
Yeah, but he's dad dancing. Well, you shouldn't do it. After a certain age, if you blow it, you just don't do it. It's just Ricky Gervais set that particular bridge in motion.
I honestly think, Alex, that the problem here is not what he did or didn't do. I mean, obviously, he wishes he had gone, and I probably think he should have gone. But the facts are that the press have decided and managed to make something of the so-called work.
They've made an issue. And Holly, are you really bothered?
No.
No, exactly.
No. And I remember he and Kate are relocating with their family to the official base in London, Kensington Palace, and they'll be finding a nursery school for George. Of course, Charlotte will be coming with them.
Oh, my word. There's so much to look forward to. We'll be mapping out all sorts of things.
Wait for Paris, though, because it's quite interesting. I mean, of course, the press, again, using ambassadors for Brexit. The point is that they, members of the royal family, act on the advice of the government and as advised, in this case, by the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. It's perfectly obvious that the trip to Paris this weekend and then the coming in July, Germany and Poland, I mean, and also the visits, state visit to the King and Queen of Spain, that would have occurred last year, but was postponed owing to Spanish.
So many arrangements, so many deals to be sorted out with Boris Johnson post Brexit. It's just unbelievable.
Exhausting. Yeah, exhausting.
It's just amazing.
Soft power projected by the royals does count.
Holly, last two questions for Richard, please.
Richard, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
I have indeed.
And next week, will we be seeing you again?
Indeed, you will.
Marvellous. In our mind's eye, of course, because it's radio. She's always very
important. That's Hamlet. Well done. Yes. Yeah. Mind's eye. Yeah. Horatio. Yes.
Precisely. There are more things in heaven and earth dreamt of in our poor radio station. 28 minutes to 9 o'clock. We thought long and hard about should we, given Richard's fondness for musical numbers, invite Nicole Kidman to do a rendition of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. But in the end...
Yes, I think it's others should hear it and be reminded of the ghastliness human voice can sing.
In the end, we went for a really catchy number.
Thank you. verging just on the right side of melancholia, Ryan Gosling with City of Stars. Well, I suppose he's preparing for the Blade Runner movie. Last week, of course, Holly and Hannah, you may recall, Ian Lennox had an emergency exit caused by a doorbell.
Oh, yes. It was a roof fixing.
The roof needed to be fixed. Nothing actually. Silence. Silence throughout the whole sort of sequence. Silence as Fulham scored a win, but I won't talk about
Fulham. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I won't talk about Fulham if he doesn't talk about Monaco.
Yes,
well, you know, at least we've made history insofar as it's the first time that a side who scored 5 goals in the first leg actually went out, but never mind.
And why is that, though?
Because
he conceded 3 at home.
But has the roof been fixed?
Yes, I'm delighted to say it has been. I don't know about you, but I believe that when you ring a roof, it's usually an emergency. So I've usually got 2 or 3 numbers in case the first one can't make it for some reason or other. And this guy, what I did was I'm in a sort of internet connection in Gosforth, where I live, where lots of people sort of sit, join this little group, and they give each other advice on people. And I just said, anybody know a good roofer? And I got about 6 or 7 replies. I picked one out. And this guy, because my 2 usual roofers couldn't make it, this guy came, and he was great. He was absolutely great. He was,
well, that's good news. I mean, if you want to give a shameless publicity plug for him, then people would be happily sort of obviously moving from Lincoln to Newcastle just to actually
just to get the roof fixed.
Sign the roof, you know.
Yeah, they'd be buying houses with holes in the roof just to make themselves
and yet,
to hire the guy.
And yet, Richard, somehow, or even Ian, I need to ask you, always sort of getting into that one, and indeed I'm sure Holly and Hannah are also keen to find out, why, in terms of your Facebook updates this week, you've gone animal crazy. I mean, first of all, we have the sharing of Oh My Bird, quality gifts and accessories for the Parrot Lovers video with respect to an Irish dancing, tap dancing. I mean, this, Hannah, what are we seeing here?
A very talented bird that can dance. And
yes, it's an Irish dance, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm very impressed because, you know.
Did you get the one about the elephant?
Well, I mean, you see, this is the other
elephant.
One.
It's a baby elephant.
Exactly.
Baby elephant sitting on people.
Now you've got the notion of a baby elephant who wants to be like Frodo, a little dog who goes to sleep and sits on
Well, there are a number of baby elephants from different places, actually. There's an anthology of sitting baby elephants.
Now, you know, I just think this is taking Disney's attempt to make live-action movies a step too far. You know, I mean, what's going on? I mean, in this particular instance, you know, I refer you back to a discussion I was having a mere week ago when I was commenting on, with Anna Lewis from Jersey, the propensity that a former poodle had at a former landlady's that I used to stay at when I was an undergraduate for attaching itself once to one's leg and having to physically be peeled away. If you try and do that with an elephant...
Why would you want to peel the elephant away? Look at that elephant. It's so adorable. It's just like just wants to be close to people and make friends and cuddle them and just sits on them and then you can stroke it.
I never thought an elephant would be able to...
Provided it doesn't do when it's grown up.
Okay, I wouldn't want an adult elephant sitting on me.
No.
But the baby
very sensible. But anyway, I post these things because I think there's so much trouble in the world. And it's just something that makes you go, oh, that's nice.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, if you're looking for displacement activities when you've got annoyed because you've lost another 400 words of your book, which hasn't been signed, then clearly posting an elephant will actually sort of work through that. I've got to ask, but Holly, were you influenced by Baba the elephant as a child?
No.
Never heard of Baba?
No, I haven't.
Hannah, have you ever heard of Baba the elephant?
I mean, it's ringing a bell, yeah. But I can't quite picture what
these undergraduates are in, you know, media production and journalism, and they haven't heard of Baba the elephant.
I've heard of Ali Baba.
No. That's a magician, you know. Or was it Ali Bongo? No, Ali Baba, and he's 40 Thieves.
Yes,
it's different. Not an elephant at all.
You're not doing very well here, Alex.
Well is a whole new sort of area. I simply say that when in doubt, you simply have to call upon the choice of camo to actually sort of throw that into the mix. Did Ian have a chance to speak? Yes, he did speak to it last week. I think he quite liked last week's. We haven't really managed to formulate a chart as we have with Richard Fitzwilliams for Ian Lennox in terms of what he feels about the Camo music. I mean, normally it's all firmly in the not really my cup of tea category. But then, of course, there's the other spin-off, of course, not Elephants, but Ollie and Obo, who might have something to actually say about this.
Do there is Twitch.
Yeah, and I think last night it was a resounding yes from the team for Alison Krauss, if I recall.
Yeah, but Cameron didn't like the comparison with Dixie Chicks, remember?
He didn't like that suggestion. Exactly. It was a response that was almost knee-jerk-esque in its kind of immediacy. Nevertheless, Ian, are you ready for Dream of Me with Alison Krauss?
I am.
Every time we say goodbye, it gets harder to do. But when I'm far away somewhere alone, and the missing you stole, all I've got to do is picture you, and I can feel you.
Think that Ian will be plucking his guitar strings somewhere in Tyneside?
You never know. He might just be a secret country lover that's just tricking us all into thinking he doesn't like it.
Ian Secret Crunch Free
this
lover.
Is new conspiracy theory that we should start.
So, I'm not speaking to Pete here.
So, what did you make of Alison Krauss then, Ian? Did you?
I liked it a lot, actually. I thought the most particularly pleasing thing was the link between the singer and the musicians. They just seemed to be on the same, completely on the same wavelength and very comfortable with each other. I liked it. It's a very simple song, really, but it was interesting because of the link between the two, I thought.
Well, Ian, we've got some even more exciting news in the good news of the world scenario, because I know that when you give up supporting Newcastle United, you've secretly always wanted to actually get involved with the so far fictional sport of Quidditch, but now it's real, is it not, Hannah?
Yes, it's very much real.
And it's become, why has it become even realer in terms of Premier League Quidditch?
Because they're setting up a Premier League, and my older brother, Scott, has managed to get onto one of the teams. He tried out, and so he's one of the first people in the Quidditch Premier League. He's going to be the South East Knights. He's in it.
You are speaking, Ian Lennox, now to the sister of one of the South East Knights Premier Quidditch players.
Well, have we got her autograph yet?
I don't know. If you speak nicely to Hannah, I'm sure she'll ask her.
What is cribbage involved? I don't know.
They're not cribbage. That's a card game. This is Quidditch.
I don't know what that is at all, then.
Oh.
Have you ever watched Harry Potter?
Yes, briefly.
You know, did you ever see the part where they are flying on broomsticks playing a game?
Yes.
It's that, but for muggles, non-magic people.
They do have brooms.
And they do have three hoops and a quaffle they have to throw through the hoop and bludges that they throw at people to make them come off their brooms. It's just running round and not flying. And the snitch...
Is it basically like a violent hockey game with broomsticks?
Well, no, because you don't hit the ball with your stick. You have to catch it. It's the stick, the broomstick...
Oh, it's lacrosse, then. Like lacrosse.
Not really, because you're riding the stick. The stick is like a hindrance, because you can only catch the ball with one hand, so you have to keep the stick between...
Oh, I see, I'm sorry, yes.
I know it's confusing, it's my brother likens it to a mix of rugby, dodgeball, netball. Yeah, just that sort. And I think a bit of tag rugby due to the catching of the snitch, because it's
interesting. Sounds like pleasingly violent to me.
It can be. Yeah, and my brother shows
sure
his injuries sometimes.
Drained of it all, he'd probably have been helping old ladies across the street because he'd be feel so happy. Anyway.
Positive thinking all the way. Holly, you've got from John Wenham's events diary some news about events that are taking place, starting off with the Stone Tape Symposium. Would you like to just read for the benefit of Ian and our listener what this is all about? Because I'm sure it might tempt him to travel those 200-odd miles from Newcastle to Lincoln.
Don't be silly.
It might do.
Yeah, so on Sunday the 19th, the Stones Tape which is a popular genre chat show, which focuses on all things literally.
Oh, no.
Explores the world of books, film, television and comics with co-presenters and guests. On Sunday, in association with the University of Lincoln School of English and Journalism, they will present a whole day of discussion and workshops in a live recording of the show. They have guest speakers, which include Sam Stone in horror, David J. Howe, Doctor Who collecting, and also we've got George Mann, who is comic writing. Wide range.
Amazing.
And it's all happening.
And David
here.
J. Howe is joining us in the second part of the programme as well to share his two penneth on the whole sort of system. You've got Alan Stevens, you've got Darren Scales, you've got Fiona Moore. How can people come to this? Hannah, how can people come to the Stone Tape Symposium?
By coming to the University of Lincoln.
Exactly.
It's based in the Stephen Langton building.
Yes, exactly. Right next door to the Siren FM studios.
Yes.
Formerly MTech. If you're a student, do you pay anything?
You do not.
There we are. If you're a non-student or a muggle student sort of person, it will be 10 English pounds. And if you want to find out more, 01522 886245. That's 01522 886245. Ian's again had a distinguished silence once again, because obviously he's been distracted by Ollie and Obo, but at least the doorbell hasn't rung, so all's well with that sort of system. So what does the day have in store for yourself, Ian? More words to be lost on the computer, or more animal videos to be shared?
I bought some software now, so I'm apparently... I'm pretty safe from losing words on computers.
Good.
I've got a lodger arriving on Sunday, So I've got to get the house prepared.
Mm-hmm. Do you not have a butler to do such things?
No, he's joined the Socialist Party, I'm afraid.
it's sometimes you just can't get the staff, really. You just can't get the staff. It's a different line to that.
Calls me mate. Comrade.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. Shall I dust this window, comrade?
It's the way you break into the vernacular of the average Geordie that always impresses me. And very few folk would have realised that effectively you were born and bred in Australia, but never mind. Only kidding. In the next hour, we're also speaking to Kay Adams, Nadia Sawala and Jade Dalrymple over an extraordinary little piece of research which shows that there's still a shame culture due to a lack of education around menstruation. 44% of women admit that they don't know what was happening to their body when they got their first period. And the Betty for Schools project is launching a new curriculum linked education program for schools and parents. I bet in the years we've been doing these links, Ian, you never thought I'd actually sort of do a trailer with respect to breaking the period taboo. There we are.
Right.
Yes. Okay. That's fine. We'll sort of work through a whole process. We're actually going to go for the Siren News team, because they'd actually sort of put a bid in for this, but we'd actually got there before them in some strange way. Or I did say we could share and share alike. We happily sort of do these sort of things, but still. Anyway, Kay Adams, TV presenter, of course, mother of two daughters. Nadia Sawala, always good. She's featured on the show several times before. Also mother of two daughters. You see, they share this in common with Ian Lennox. This is why it's very important.
I've got three daughters.
Oh, you see, I was going to go that stage further. And Jade Dalrymple, who's a Year 6 teacher and head of PSHE, which, if memory serves, is Personal, Social and Health Education.
Yeah, I think so.
That's all very good. And PSHE values at the Pine School in Berkshire. She's taught children about periods and remains passionate about the need to educate young people about their bodies. So that'll be coming up as a sort of sandwich, really, between Louis Savvy and David J. Howe. So you can't say we don't bring a certain variety to the airwaves as far as Thursday morning is actually concerned. But it's time now for Hannah to put those last two questions to the Lennox Meister, the friend of baby elephants, so and dancing...
Irish dancing parrot.
Exactly. Across the world. Go, Hannah.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have, yes.
Will you be joining us again next week?
I do hope so.
That's all we really need. Yeah, exactly. Roof permitting and other sort of areas. It was the way
I've got a couple of seconds, I can just...
of course, Ian.
Right. You keep on calling things. I put on Facebook. I put one this morning, which might interest you. It was 8 years ago today... I was made, the Teesside Library Service made the Brothers Book of the Month.
I was there. Yeah.
And you were involved in that. So
it's a show I produce. That's very good. Yeah. No, it doesn't appear.
I don't know if the show was 8 years ago today, but it was, I don't know.
Well, I
had to go down to a lecture, didn't I? Remember?
Yes, you did. And it was very fun. It was the first time we actually met face to face.
Was it really? I didn't
realize
that.
No. Yes, and no, it hasn't appeared at least on your feed. Why are you into a time machine? Because clearly on the Ian Lennox page, he's getting younger and younger on a day by day basis.
Oh yes, I know. I see one sitting in front of that mirror, you know.
You're living backwards in time. It's the whole scenario. Well, you know, this is a way forward. It's happened before, and doubtless it will happen again. Astoundingly, I've seen that coming up to the computer system, not only do we actually have the joys of Carry Me with Kygo featuring Julia Michaels. You can hear it in the background now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've also got those Spanish gals, Baccarat, with Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie, which also brings us around to the notion that... exactly. Back in the 70s with a vengeance. We've forgotten one of the most important celebrations, girls. I know we're celebrating 50 years of the Prisoner TV series. We talked about that at length. Hannah, you've got your first sort of assignment for next week to watch the opening episode of The Prisoner, Arrival. But 10 years since Bewitched effectively first came upon our consciousness. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you just do that.
I still sort of remember them.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
And more. Exactly.
A lot of denim,
etc. And it's nice to know that the twins have made up with the other singers in the band. So Edie and Adele, etc. It's all friends. So I knew that would please you, Ian, that Bewitched are back together. Nothing to do, of course, with the TV series in which Belinda Montgomery used to wiggle her nose.
Yes, I was going to say that was about 40 years old.
That was,
I don't remember that one.
Exactly.
And you've got a very good reason for not remembering that, haven't you?
Oh, She was in a different body at the time. It's an incarnation thing. It's all being reincarnated. We've done both questions, haven't we? Yes, we have. Right, excellent. Well, that's it then, Ian. Your time, now, Mr. Lennox, is now up, and we'll see you in 7 days from now. Happy trails.
Okay,
man.
You were there for me. Every time we would start a fight, we make love till the morning light. I was there for you, and you were there for me. So I don't know how we got so far, you.